Good morning, church. Good Sunday morning, church. Good Sunday. No, it's a Nancy Pelosi thing. Anyway, good to have you all here today. Matt, I did that for you. Anyway, good to have you all with us today. I do want to thank Kyle Peters. Where you at, Kyle? During the Shake and Howdy time, he gave me some of his snacks there. I wasn't sure, though, as I was eating it, if it was a marshmallow or an already chewed Fruit Loop. So either way, it was soft and good, tasty. So thank you for that. All right. Usually the kids don't share with me when I ask for their snacks, but he did, so maybe the joke was on me. I don't know. Yeah, he's like, yeah, Mr. Ashley, here you go. Anyway, we are continuing our series of preaching through the Bible, and we are in the book of Psalms today. There's so many different passages that we could look at out of the book of Psalms, but we're going to be looking at chapter 37. So if you want to turn to Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5 is what we're going to be looking at today. I think, personally, this goes hinges really well with George's message from yesterday, talking about being guided by the Holy Spirit, and how do you know when it's of God or when it's not. We've made mention over the past several months at different times on, you know, when we pray prayers and how do we know, how does a prayer sound like that God is giving us affirmation on, and how does a prayer sound like that God is either not answering or giving us a no? And sometimes that may be a little difficult. And the fact of the matter is, sometimes I think the reason we get the answers we want is because we're not praying like we should. And so we make it fit our, and that's kind of what George was talking about yesterday, makes it fit our agenda rather than what the Lord's is. And so with that, and having been praying about that over the last several months, when I came across this passage of Scripture, I said, that is how He answers our prayers. Now, as George pointed out yesterday at the Fishers of Men thing, when he spoke, he pointed out that any answer that we get into a prayer or any question that we've got in our life has to come from God's Word. And the older I get, the more and more clear I think that is to me, that we just can't, because you feel a certain way, our emotions can be misleading. And so we've got to find those answers in the Word of God. And so when we ask for certain things, and, you know, maybe you're 16 years old and you're wanting a brand new car, you know what? You got to know how, you know, and you see this and you say, well, the Lord says He's going to give me the delights of my heart, right? And so we look at that, but church, you know, we laugh at a 16-year-old boy that may be making that prayer, but we do the same thing in our own life. And so when we look at this, I want for us to understand what this really means for the Lord to give us the desires and the delight of our heart. And what those are. So Psalms 37, verses 4 and 5. I will say this sermon didn't come easy. Some sermons are just fun to preach, are easy to put together, and so if it does seem a little random, I apologize, but I tried to funnel it down as best I could, but Psalms 37, 4 and 5 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will do it. To throw this together with our sermon series that we've been doing on Sunday nights on prayer, that the way we know how we get the delights of our heart is we have to go to the Lord in prayer. And when we do this, and I was talking with Joe Hines yesterday, and this is why it's good for us to say things out loud occasionally. This is why it's good for us to pray out loud and not necessarily what I'm talking about is in a group of people, but pray out loud when we're by ourselves. Because when we hear things being said, we realize how self-absorbed we really are. And when we say that internally, we don't hear that as much. But when we say that and it becomes audible, then it's almost like, oh my goodness, I am being selfish, or I'm thinking of my, you know. And so we really need to look at that. And so I do believe that whatever our prayer is, when we pray believing, as we looked last week, Sunday night, pray believing, and it is the Lord's will that he will grant us those delights and those desires. But the whole idea is we have to change us. It just can't be Dave saying, oh, I want this, or Steve saying, boy, I would like to have that, or Ethan saying, boy, I hope this goes this way. We have to align our will with his will, and then we'll see that starts to take shape. So keep all that in your thoughts here this morning. Delight and commitment, the two words that start each one of these sentences here, are two attributes that really most people in the world today struggle with, at least from a spiritual point of view. Delight, there's at least three different Hebrew words that are used for the word delight. And this one here is in the Hebrew sense means to be delicate. Most translations even translate it as to be effeminate, to be soft. And the one that I really like for it, and I think really fits our understanding and how it means to be applied to us, is to be pliable, to be pliable. So when we see that word delight, we think, oh, what makes me happy? No, it's what's going to make me pliable to who? To the Lord. What's going to make me? And then our ultimate goal of happiness should be to make him happy. And so when we start to realize these things, and that's how those answers start to come down to us in our prayer, that the Word of God will give us every answer for every prayer that we ask when we follow the pattern in which we need to be praying and the way we need to conduct and live our lives. Because I loved Josh Schenkel yesterday. We were just talking, and he said, I don't get it. The Bible makes things pretty simple on us. We don't even have to think about it. All we have to do is do it. And I'm like, how true is that? How true is that? And so it's when we start to think, right? My wife always says this to me, and I'm sure it's in your case too. You know what? You're thinking too much, right? And so what does that mean? We're getting away from what the real core thought is. You're thinking too much. So this means that we are formed into the Lord, that he is the cast, and that we take on the form that he gives us. And that, and when we see things like him, there we have our heart's desire. And how do we know? I heard George Fall say this many years ago, that as we see things in Scripture and we see our life changing, because as we get older, there'll be things that we'll be like, you know, I'm not going to do that. Well, why is that? Is that because we're older and smarter? Or is it because we're more mature spiritually? As George said, I hope it's because I'm more mature spiritually. But there are some things that we've learned that, you know what? If that answer isn't coming to us, and we saw that in our prayers last week, our prayer lesson, then if you can't find it in God's Word, then that's probably a good idea to maybe, you know, stay clear of that. Because there are times that even our children ask us questions and we don't even respond. And what did they get the idea for that? Well, okay, if Dad didn't respond, maybe that's the answer. All right, so as we see that, and then we got this word commit, or commitment means to trust or even to wallow. Now, I really like that one, that to wallow in it. And we always think of, well, to wallow in your misery, right? Or to in your bad things. But consider a pig. when it wallows in the mud, right? I've never seen a pig, and I've been out on, when Brother Gene used to have his pig farm, and John Rackaway, and I worked out there, and I've never once saw a pig walk up to a mud hole and just like tip its toe in it. You know, ooh, nice and cool. No, that pig gets right down in there, roots around in it, and it gets to the point that when he wallows in that mire, he becomes encapsulated in it. I mean, as a matter of fact, Peter talks about that, about the dog returning to its own vomit and the pig returning to its own waller, right? That's Southern for wallow, okay? But returning to its own mess, becomes encapsulated in it. And it's almost to the point you look at that pig and you're like, I'm not sure where that pig begins and where that mud ends. It's just so much there. But you know what? When you look at it, he is fully committed into that. He's not, oh, you know, I got a little mud on me. I need to get that off. He wants to go all in when it comes to that. And that's what this idea of these two words of delight and commit are all about. I've got a few commentary quotes here on these verses, and the first one's quite lengthy, so please hang on and pay attention. John Gill gives us this insight. In the persons in God where there is a Father, Son, and Spirit, in the perfections of God, His power, His goodness, His faithfulness, His wisdom, His love, His grace, and His mercy, in His works of creation and providence and redemption, in His word, His gospel, the truths, and the ordinance of it, in His house and the worship of it, and in His people and the excellence in all the earth, in whom was all the delight of the psalmist. And each of these afford a field of delight and pleasure to attend unto, contemplate and meditate upon it. All those things that were listed, look at all the things we want to be involved with in our life, and then see how many of them were actually mentioned there. And I know this guy's not inspired. It's just a commentator. But the thing is, he's using God's word here to indicate to us, what are we chasing after, people? Each of these afford a field of delight and pleasure to attend unto, to contemplate and meditate upon, such as are according to the will of God for the good of His people, such as relate to communion with Him and to communicate the communication of more grace from Him and to the enjoyment of eternal glory, is what John Gill says. I kind of took all of what he said there and didn't put it in my own words, but as I read that, I couldn't help but remember the words of Isaiah in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, where Isaiah says this, "For my thoughts are," this is the Lord speaking, "for my thoughts are not your thoughts." Is that not a tough statement for us to swallow at times? "Nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." And we're also told in Scripture that the heart of man, we say, well, you know, I've really prayed about it, and my heart tells me that I can go and do this situation, or I can go be involved in this activity, or I can go do this, and my heart says this. But also remember that the heart is wicked amongst all things, and deceitful, and will let you down. That's why we cannot base our decisions on how we serve the Lord and how we live for Him on personal emotions and feelings. It has to be based on God's word. Do we want to find our delight in Him? Are we going to let Him mold us? Are we going to let Him shape us? Are we going to let Him become the cast that puts us into that form? Albert Barnes says, "Literally, the asking or the requests of your heart, what you really desire will be granted to you." And I thought about this too. You know, he says this, and whatever you really desire will be granted to you. Well, there's no doubt that probably at some time or another, all of us here have really desired something in our life that God did not want us to have. Okay? And maybe he still gave it to us. Because if that's the delight of our heart, and so how do you prove that, preacher? I started with, in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, and Pharaoh hardened his heart, and Pharaoh hardened his heart, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. After each one of the 10 plagues that were sent, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. And finally, the Lord understood what the delight of his heart was, and guess what? He gave it to him. He hardened his heart. And then it says the Lord hardened his heart. Do you think that's really what God wants? But if you're going to chase the things of the world, don't be surprised if those doors open up for you. But as we said, as I thought yesterday, as George was talking, there is a difference, people. A spirit may open those doors for you, but it's not the Holy Spirit. There may be something else opening those doors and making it available. Because I believe just as we pray for things and we ask the Lord for his guidance, that I believe that Satan is there ready to make a stumble trip and open other doors to cause confusion. And so as we've said before, that's why I like to pray, make it real simple on me. Because I'm not always brilliant at figuring these things out. As we continue on with Albert Barnes, says the fact that a child loves his father and finds his happiness in doing his will do much to regulate his own wishes or desires, and will at the same be a reason why the father will be disposed to comply with his requests. We as fathers, as leaders, when we can have the opportunity to help out and answer the questions that are being asked of us, when we know that it's of our will and what we want to happen, we're more apt to comply. Right? So is our Father in heaven, when our will is lined up with his will. Adam Clark says this, and this probably is the best one of the bunch and more concise than any of them, and it just says, the godly man never indulges in a desire that he cannot form into a prayer to God. In other words, as I said before a few months ago, you know, so when you ask these prayers, the fact of the matter is we get involved in a lot of things that because we want to do it, we don't even go to the Lord in prayer, if we're honest, because we know what his answer will be. And so when it goes against what we know, that's why we can change. That's why it says that if we cannot put this together in a prayer, then really, do we expect for the Lord to answer it the best way possible? So as we look at these things, I ask a few questions, make a few statements as we move through this lesson here this morning. Do we find delight in what the Lord delights in? Do we find delight in what the Lord delights in? So do the things of God make us happy? Do the things of God, do the things of God fulfill us? Do we find the things of God boring or bothersome or sometimes even burdensome? By the way, we ask, you know, I just, and I've had this conversation. I'm sure others of our leadership, our elders have as well, and maybe you as well. You know, I just find church sometimes so hard to sit through. Right? Well, is it boring to you? Because I guarantee you, when God sees all of his children together, it's not boring to him. Right? Is it bothersome to you? I guarantee you, he doesn't consider this bothersome. Is this a burden to you? Because I guarantee you, his son didn't die for something that'd be a burden for you. And so when we ask those things in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So where is our faith? If we are not pleasing God, if we are not delighting in the things, without faith it is impossible to please him. I ask you this morning, church, are we pleasing him? Do we have faith in him? Romans 12:2, and he's telling this to the church, and do not be conformed to this world. There ought to be a whole lot more no's, not this, no's and o's. There should be a whole lot more no's that take place when we are asking the Lord, should I be involved in this earthly event? Should I be involved in this earthly situation? Should I be involved? There should be a lot more no's of those. And then when we say, you know, should I gather with the saints? Yes. Should I have prayer time? Yes. Should I have more Bible reading? Yes. When we look at those, we don't have to go to God for prayer and ask him which one of those things he desires for us to share in. I knew it would be quiet after that. Because we are to be conformed, right? Not to this world, but to this word. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is. The Lord looks at things differently than you and I do. The Lord looks at things differently than you and I do. We even made mention of this. I think Josh maybe made mention of this in his class this morning. That remember when they were picking the king to replace Saul, right? God looks where? At the heart. And what does man look at? The outside. Well, why? Because as much as I think I know, I have no clue what's going on upstairs in your mind. But God does. But God does. And so he looks at things differently than we do. And I think sometimes we look at that situation there with David and we say, but God looks at the heart. You are absolutely 100% right. But there's a statement in that verse that's just as 100% right, that man looks on the outside. Amen? Why is that? Well, we say, well, it's not right to judge people on the outside. God says that's how we're going to do it. We can't look at the heart. That's because we're told what's on the inside will do what? Permeate and come forth and show forth on the outside. So do we look at the outside? Do we judge on the outside? Yes, we do. And so be ready for it. One preacher tells a story about an old man standing on a crowded bus. This is remembering God looks at things differently than we do. And sometimes others look differently at things than we do as well. But a preacher tells a story about an old man standing on a crowded bus. The young man next to him asked him, "What time is it, sir?" The old man refused to answer the young man. So the young man moved on down the bus. The old man's friend sitting across from him, sensing that something was wrong, asked, "Why were you so discourteous to the young man who was just simply asking for the time?" The old man said, "If I'd given him the time of day, then the next thing he'd want to do is know where I'm going. And if he wanted to know where I was going, then he might want to talk about my interests. And if we did that, then he might want me to invite him to my house for dinner. And if I ended up in inviting him to my house for dinner, he would meet my lovely daughter. And if he met my lovely daughter, he would probably fall in love with her and want to get married to her. And I don't want my daughter marrying a guy who can't even afford a watch." See, sometimes people look at things differently than we do, right? And I guarantee you that God looks at things differently than we do. Psalm 147, verses 10 and 11. "He does not delight in the strength of horses." That's fast cars, guys. Just saying. Okay? So there's your answer, right? Now, that doesn't mean you can't have one, but it doesn't mean that the Lord's going to provide it for you, right? All right? "He doesn't delight in the strength of horses. He does not take pleasure in the legs of men, in our own physical strength and well-being. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him." Do we fear God, guys? then you're above the ones that want the fast car, right? Those who wait for his loving kindness. God looks at things differently than we do. In this day, it was chariots and strong army soldiers. Well, we look at those things that bring us happiness or maybe even security today, and God says, those mean nothing to me. I bring you security. Rely on my strength and my power. So how do we know if we want, if what we want is what the Lord wants? How do we know if what we want is what the Lord wants? James 1:25 says this, but the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. So where is that? Where do you find, where do I find the perfect law? Where do I find the perfect law of liberty? God's word, amen? And so when we see those things and we start to let that dictate our life, when we let God's word manipulate us, and when I say that, we let it have its control over us. We must have a conversation with the Lord. And that's why I think there are times in our life that we have baptisms and we have our times where our sins are washed away. And it's great if these can happen at the same time. But then we're converted sometime later. The Lord desires for that to all happen at one time. That's His plan. But I've seen many a people that go in here, come out, and it's years later until they decide to change their mind on how they're living. I'm not saying that's right by any means, but that's that conversation that I had to have with the Lord, that you have to have with the Lord at some time when you say, you know what, I'm done playing games, let's do it your way. Let's do it your way. Even as a Christian, we must talk with the Lord to let Him know what our desires are. And as He talks to us through His word, and we talk to Him through prayer, then we start to realize what is of the utmost importance in our life. He then lets us know through His word. The danger we have in going outside of God's word for our answer is that how we do not know that answer is going to be given to us then. Well, is it going to come this way? Is it going to be by a spouse that's going to tell me what I need to do? Is it going to be by a friend that's going to guide me? Well, you know what? You may use those things, but unless their instructions coming from the Lord and your instructions coming from the Lord, it just might not be the right thing. Psalm 119, verses 15 and 16. I will meditate on your precepts and I will regard your ways. That's referring to God's word, the Bible. I shall delight in your statutes. Once again, God's word. So, if you want the delight, if you want to delight in the Lord, then you have to let His word shape you, mold you, make you pliable to His will. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. But oh, we do, don't we? We cannot focus on God's word and then discard its very effects on our life. Psalm 1, verse 2, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and His law He meditates day and night. It's not just that genie bottle that we wish to get the answer from. We need to be in a constant relationship with the Lord of us talking to Him and Him talking to us so that we find out what His will is. We must be committed to the Lord. We must be committed to the Lord. And things of this world become a distraction heavily. I couldn't help but think of this as we were talking about the word delight. In C.S. Lewis's classic novel, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, does anyone remember the phrase delight being used in that movie or that book? Remember, Edmund makes his way through the wardrobe and into Narnia, where he meets the White Witch. Unaware of the evil, it's almost as if she appeared as an angel of light. Did we talk about that last week in Ezekiel? But anyway, unaware of the evil of the White Witch, Edmund climbs up into her sleigh. The witch asks Edmund what he would like, of anything that he would like. And remember what his request was for? The little snack called Turkish Delight. Turkish Delight. Later, Edmund would forsake his friends and seek out the witch for more of this Turkish delight. But it was no longer in a nice, beautiful white sleigh. It was in her castle of loss and suffering. The White Witch did not force Edmund to eat the Turkish delight. She just left it there on a plate for him. She never forced him to leave his friends, but he was so willing to walk away. Edmund did so out of his own desires within him. Church, Christian, we've all got our own Turkish delight. And we need to make sure that we keep that at bay. Likewise, Satan will never make you do anything that he cannot force you, and he cannot force you to sin. He can't make us do anything, and he can't force us to sin, but he is sure definitely going to lead us down that path for us to make that choice. And make our desires appear to be holy and even a proper thing in our life. Well, this is a good opportunity. When I go and do this event, you know, I've had people tell me, all right? I've had people tell me that, you know, the reason I go to the bars on Thursday night to drink with my friends is the opportunity to share the gospel with them. Right? You know? Oh, and I don't even drink. I don't drink when I go in there. You know, I'll get something else, you know, a Sprite or something. Right? And so I would never do. Right? We say that. We say that. And I'm not saying that it can't happen. I'm not saying that there are people that aren't stronger in their faith than I am. I'm just saying, do you really think that's the way? Well, Jesus went and ate with sinners. You're right. And you're not Jesus. Right? Right? Hebrews 5:14. But the solid food is for the mature who, because of his practice, have their senses trained to discern what? How do we train our senses for good and for evil from the solid food? It's not talking about T-bone steak there. I usually reference T-bone steak in this, in the comparison from milk to T-bone steak. But church, understand right here, right now, this isn't steak. This is the Word of God. This is the solid food for the mature saints. This is where you get your nourishment. This is where you gain your strength. So that you can discern good and evil. Why do so many Christians, mature, young in the faith, whatever it may be, why do we make such big, bad decisions in our life over and over again? Because we're not allowing the Word to dictate our decisions. It's by immersing ourselves into the Word of God that we learn how to know how to pick out good from evil, because sometimes it's pretty hard. We must be committed to Christ. Just saying that we are a Christian does not get it done. We all meet people every week that say, I'm a Christian, and we know they're not. Just picking or choosing Him most of the time does not make us committed, faithful, or even what we would call consistent. Wouldn't you love it if your spouse came home to you most of the time? Right? Would you consider them faithful? Well, they almost come home 7 days a week. Right? We must be committed to the Lord. But in all of this, we can't dare forget, God wants to fulfill our desires. God wants to fulfill our desires. The thing that we have to work through is, guess what? We've got to change our life so that our desires are His will. Then guess what? He'll say, I'll be happy to fulfill those desires. Do we see that? Do we want to be pliable? Are we going to be committed? God wants to fulfill those desires. When we align our life with what God desires for us, He will grant for us the desires of our heart. And unfortunately, I honestly do believe there are times that may even mean that if you truly want to chase after the things of the world, God will let you. God will let you. He's not going to force anybody. And so, well, it just worked out so well that we were able to do this event. And because of it, you missed fellowship time. You missed meeting around the Lord's table. You did, but it just worked out so well, didn't it? How about we ask God first? You know, would you rather me do, you put it in, or would you rather me meet around your table to remember your son? Oh, I know what the answer is. Right? Those are prayers we really don't have to pray. The problem is many don't pray. And then we get the answers that we want. We want. Deep down in our hearts and our minds, I believe that through the scriptures we can know the difference between right and wrong. We need to remember the Apostle Paul told us in Romans that just because you have the right to do something, it doesn't mean that you should. Right? Remember that? Do we honestly think that anything is better or that our service to the Lord is not as good as something or something else? Serving and living for God is the best good that any one of us can do. James 4:17 says, therefore, to one who knows the right thing or the good thing to do and does it not, to him it is sin. That's why we train ourselves by God's word. If we want the Lord to direct our paths, then we need to follow His directions. Psalm 104, verse 34, let my meditation be pleasing to Him. As for me, I shall be glad, or I will be happy, or I will find my delight in the Lord. Let our obedience to Him be the joy and the desires of our heart. Amen. That's where we find true happiness. Does He want to grant us all of our desires? Will He delight in those? Yes, as long as our will lines up with His will. We're the ones that need to change, not Him. There's change that needs to take place in each one of our lives. Some need to make just maybe a little adjustment. It's as you're following that point on the compass. You can be off by just 1 degree right here. Just a little change. But miles down the road, you're off big time. And if you're several off here, then you're not even going to be close. We need to get into His direction, into His word. Let it be that which helps us to find the delight in Him. And He will give us the desires of our heart. There's a plan of salvation that He wants for us to obey. It will give us, and if we do these things, He will give us the desires and the delights of our heart. How many want to go to heaven? Amen? Then do what He asks us to do. And He will grant that. Amen? Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. John 8:24. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. That we need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord by not only a verbal commitment and confession, but also by the way that we live our life. That if we're willing to confess Him before men, then He will confess us before His Father who is in heaven. That we'll be immersed into Jesus Christ, that we'll be baptized. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And then be faithful. Be faithful. The hardest one up there, I believe, is to be faithful. Because Satan doesn't care if you believe, even if you repent, even if you confess. Satan doesn't even care if you have your sins washed away, if you never reflect on that moment again. But be faithful. Be faithful until the end. Be faithful, and he will give you the crown of life. Will you stand with us as they lead us in our song of invitation?
Let's sing Because It Is.